Thank you. Thank you, Nicolas, for the introduction and for setting this up. And thank you all for being here. It's an honor to be speaking to this, far out audience. Just some few introductions. I'm the project manager of this part of BR, which is called Audibility. It's a wordplay. It's the ability to be heard, but also to hear. Let's see, maybe. And we've been working in a research, artistic research, ethnographic research, and at this case, a design research project concerned with a deaf experience with sound through sound art and music. So we've been working a lot with the schools, so it has a pedagogical aspect, the whole project. And recently, we also went out to the schools and we worked with adults. Now, in this occasion, we're going to be presenting with Petros the third instance, so the third, let's say, semester we worked in schools, which is about a dual project. I do want to consider it as a double. Ah, it's off, eh? I do want to consider it as a two distinct artworks that do communicate with each other. So we are talking about a radio show, and at the same time, a device. This device, this prototype device that Petros developed, which is based on the principle of sound transduction or communication or transmission through vibrations and tactility, rather than the conventional way of air transmission, transmission through the air. There's something wrong with the projection, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's flickering. I don't know why this is. Maybe to begin with, I should. I don't want to go deep into analysis because it's kind of a complicated work. And we want to prioritize the showing the work. But I would like to pinpoint to three fields of interest we've been working with. One is the vibrotactility, so the sense of touch and vibrations, as one of the alternative ways of accessing sound, both for deaf and hard of hearing, but also for the hearing as well. We've been learning a lot of how to feel and how to sense sound through our bodies, through this whole process. The second aspect is the, you'd say, the speculative concept of the radio bubble. So the idea that since the beginning of radio transmissions, there is an intangible, invisible bubble of radio waves traveling now in space, possibly in the beginning at the verge of this bubble is Guillermo Marconi's question, do you hear me? I believe in Italian, in England. But what comes after it is the accumulation of all radio transmissions. So we're kind of traveling in space through radio, and that was emphasized a lot in classroom. And the third aspect is the use of a deaf voice. There's a stereotypical saying, misconceptualization within in Greece, but also elsewhere. The word kophalalos, a person who is deaf, that's sometimes or very often thought of not to have a voice, which is, of course, untrue, but in the pedagogical system, quite often, deaf kids are discouraged from speaking. They're thought of not to be speaking correctly. So we are trying to avoid this canonistic approach to what can be, what voices can be heard publicly, should be correct, articulated in a correct way. And we're trying to give some more space to the deaf voices of the kids who are... Who feel they want to use their voices. So, yes, Maybe I should begin very briefly with a huge learning experience through a residency program. We were honored to be hosting two resident artists. This is David Bobier from Canada, and the woman in the back is Leslie Putnam, both practitioners on the field of deaf accessibility and sound art, sound education, and sonic sculpturing from Ontario, Canada. Coincidentally, David had last night around 4 o'clock in the morning was launching a gig in Canada where he would collect voices from all over the world and playing them back on a wall, a vibrotactile wall he has installed in Ontario, Canada, in Canada. And people there would feel all those voices kind of placed. A multi-channel installation, 8 channels, I believe, which makes us think a little bit about the spatialization through sound, when the sound is sensed in the body rather than through the binaural perception. We learned a lot about vibrotactility through David's work, and we thought of vibrotactility as an expressive medium. And then we took it to school. Dana is also participating. I didn't say that. Dana is also participating through me, because she's in a conference person. But she shared her notes with me about the processes we followed in school. So that was a 4-meeting workshop, series of workshops. And we started introducing the idea of tactile sounds, what we thought of as being sounds that can be felt through the hands or through the body. That was informed by literature, but also interviews from the deaf people we've met. What are the sounds that you can feel? Everyday sounds. So we made like a pilot short bit from sounds we collected and we thought of that they're tangible, let's say. So that was a heartbeat. That was steps. Steps on gravel. There was a cat purring. And there was a, how would you call this, a pneumatic drill. The thing that drills down the... and these are all informed by deaf people, that they can feel that, right, in their bodies. We made a small bit in order to elicit children's imagination, pinpoint exactly this sense of sound through tactility. Initially, I made this little thing, which is like a small furniture, which is connected to transducers or exciters. So this. And this idea evolved into the object Petros made. But we were using this in school just to elicit narrative, just to inspire children's imagination to narrate through vibrations. So we made this first pilot and then asked the kids how did they feel about it. It felt like a walk in the park, actually. Because it was placed in a way. So we know that we've worked with other schools, non-deaf schools, where kids go to the parks, an exciting experience for them, an exciting experience to narrate. So we asked them to think at home about those sounds they feel through their bodies and draw them. So this kid's kind of giving out the scores, not the scores. They were painting or writing and keeping notes, and we put them all together down and collected them, and then the next workshop we played them back through the furniture, the thingy, and then started creating a story, putting things together. Now at the third workshop we started working on the narrative. So it was, I think, it was 7 kids who were very eager to tell a story. So we stitched together a story and took all narratives back home and made like a continuum. We have the file which is 15 minutes long. I'm not sure we'll be playing it now, but we'll try to install this someplace public, and people can follow it and touch it and stuff like that. In the meantime, Petros was developing this beautiful device here. Beautiful, you say. I find it's beautiful. and maybe you'd like to say a few words about its development, right?
Yep. So you want this or you want this? I need the microphone either way, so maybe. So, yeah, I'm going to say a few words about the design, basically about the concept of a design related with what it means to design a device for someone that, I'll read from the text because I've written everything, that's why I've written everything. The construction of the object was mainly based on applied design practices and not on intensive literature research. Nevertheless, the design approach was related to the methodologies of inclusive design, universal design, design for all, but mainly to their effective applications and their critical comparison. The design approach avoided relying on standard and guidelines, thus advocating design as a tool of creative to create a dynamic relation with the user. The thing is that what I want to say is that the design approaches tend to follow expected methodologies during the design process without actually meeting the requirements of all the targeting user groups. Thus not meeting the needs of the other groups, making the design ineffective for all. During the design and use process, issues arised concerning the inclusion of the users. This can arise for people with or without disabilities, in this case deaf or non-deaf, at all levels of use to anyone. In the design process, exclusion is often treated as a necessary evil phenomenon. The need for diversity in design, oral diversity in this case, and avoidance of exclusion highlights the specificity of each individuality. In how one perceives the stimuli, sound or non-sound, in this case again, depending not only on physiology and capabilities of one's sensory organs, but also in cultural background, personal experience, etc. In this case, this is why we embedded both sets of transducers. We can show you how the device is set up. Attached to each side of the surface, side by side on the surface of the artifact, and a conventional speaker at the bottom of the artifact.
Oops. Oh, no. No. It's not, yeah.
But it's a DIY artifact and a DIY presentation, so to say. Anyway, I'm going to be quick and I'm going to say a few words about the how the thing is set up. So, a few things about how what tools are used to design the sphere, let's say. I mean, the concept was actually, because everything was related with kids, so the idea was actually the kids love to play with balls, so I wanted to make a ball, and then I wanted to make it, something that is interesting when you touch it. That's why I use different materials and textures, and something that the scale will help for a kid to size-wise, to hold it and hug it. So that's why we ended up having like a sphere-like shape. So yeah, I used the 3D NURBS modeling software and a few parametric design applications as well to let's say from a sphere to reach to that shape. Electromechanical wise, as I said, is three tactile speakers and a loudspeaker. And there is, a controller with a FM transmitter, and inside the device is two FM receivers and four amplifiers. And, well, all that, well, at the end of the day, what we want to have is an experience of someone holding something that vibrates and delivers a vibration. The sound message will be delivered through a vibration. To an extent, we managed to achieve it. But you'll see the video or some photos of how the kids were interacting with it. That's pretty much it.
Yes. So we kind of put things together in the last workshop, where the radio show of the kids was made and was transmitted through here. Well, it's a very short broadcast, right? We're not allowed to broadcast. It's a special permission to broadcast in Greece, as everywhere. So we did a very short, like, room radius sort of thing, just to take part in this radio bubble in space. But what I did not mention before is that what the story of the kids was about was, at the end of the day, that we're in the park, so that's the pilot proposed, and there's a spaceship waiting for us, and we're getting on the spaceship, and we're being launched to a planet far from Earth where only the deaf can sense sounds. So tell us, we're going to tell you our stories there. So it's broken down in five parts, and we did make also a transcript. This is the first page of the transcript, and I have a translated version if you want to follow it later. I don't think we need to play it right now, although we do have a quarter. Shall we give it a shot?
Yes.
Great.
Hope it's going to work.
Yeah? Let's see.
Can I? Yorgos, while you set up the... Can I ask you a question?
Yes, definitely. Please
don't mind
to cover the horror vacui. Yes.
No, it's okay. No problem of silence. But I just wondering if you can tell, because I saw that on the picture. Actually, they share the listening on the small table that you build at the beginning, and with this device, there is few kids that had put the hand on it. So it's a share. Listening.
It is, yes.
Okay.
It is.
Okay.
Definitely. I mean, it's also the size that allows more people to have their hands on.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, there are different senses you get from different materials. Wood gives a different...
transmission vibration.
Different conductor. This material, which is more paper-like and more wooden-like, but still gives another thing.
Okay.
Ceramics also work. These are materials we tried in school. And also depends, of course, on the size and the mobility you can achieve through different design features. So these are all things to do. This is a prototype, right? So this... Also, an idea that we're researching, and Petros is informed by how the kids used it. We do have questions in regards to how to proceed. Transducer speaker, right?
Thank you.
ainsi que les personnes
αστέρια. Κοιτάζω γύρω μου στον ουρανό και βλέπω τα αμέτρητα φώτα των αστεριών. Κάνω αναπηρήσεις και συνεχίζω με τη στολή του αστροναύτη. Συζητάμε με τους φίλους μου κοιτάζοντας τα αστέρια. Ανεβαίνουμε σε ένα μαύρο βραχάκι. Έχει περίεργη σκόνη σε αυτό το πλανήτη.
Βλέπω αστεριά.
Βλέπουμε τη γη και τα αστεριά γύρω της.
Κάτσε σε φορά σου το χωρίο. Βλέπω τα αμυστήρια φωτιά του αμυστήρια.
So, if you don't mind, we're going to stop the presentation. And we thought maybe to have some question, and maybe we can start a discussion together.
Thank you for giving us the opportunity to experience the radio. One of the things that I felt most strongly when I was touching it was the sort of differences in the facets, in the surfaces, between the skin of my fingers, the different facets of the, and my strongest sensation was just how deaf my hands were, how I could feel big differences, but I knew that I was missing so much. But it also gave me the hope that my fingers could become listening. It was a really yeah.
Can I add to that comment? Yes. So I agree with what you're saying, but I want to add that, deaf people, like everyone needs, like, if we want to communicate with someone through vibration, they need to have the, how to say, it's like a language. So, further than the artistic approach of something is vibrating and someone understands something out of it, in order to understand it as a language, then you need to train yourself to understand what this vibration means and what this vibration does. And so you have to build it up through, I guess, we have to build it up through the years.
Yeah.
So, I'm not saying that this device totally achieves this to that extent, but, you know.
And it kind of joins what Helmer was saying earlier about sensory commoning. In a way, that's what you're saying, is that apprenticeship, that sensory apprenticeship, has to be collective, so that there's a shared meaning that can emerge.
Indeed, definitely. The aspect of learning and tuning in to vibration is one thing, and that's why we're working in schools. I think it's very crucial to provide those initially memories or hand, you know, first touch with sound, in a way. This is for us is a huge learning process to tune in our bodies and how to approach all those things. And in terms of commoning, indeed, we met Petros in a Cresson 10th Cresson Winter School in Volos. and he was facilitating vibrodactylity in regards to design public space. And we were discussing about an application in a club. There was a, like, you know, in a music club.
Okay,
I mean,
yeah, yeah.
And one of the
for people that cannot hear.
For people that cannot hear,
well,
or for everybody.
For everybody.
I mean,
yeah.
I think it's for everybody at the end of the day, right? So because sound is a shared experience, indeed. It's out there, and we're in it.
In every form of it.
In any form of it, right?
Can you comment, Petro and Jorgo, can you comment a little bit what the efficacy of the different materials you use? Of course, we have the, I can imagine the logic of the construction. It can stand, it can be not so heavy. But can we describe that maybe some materials have been chosen in their vibrating qualities? I don't know.
So, yeah, we went through like different sorts of materials, like, okay, of course, metal plates, steel plates, ceramics, liquids, inflated things like balloons, and et cetera, et cetera. But I mean, for the matter of durability, and because it was easy to give shape on something, we choose to like have a form of folded plywood, which laser cut it and glued it all together, which made it easy and quick to come up with a shape. I don't know if next time we're going to build it or if we're going to build it again, it's going to have a different shape or it's going to be made from different material. But because it's like a practical approach of doing something, maybe next time it's going to be made from a different material.
Okay. And I think it's also object for purpose. Sort of. I mean, we've in the afterwards we did a presentation in the Greek National Opera, and we used cushions, which is totally different materiality, and for a totally different use. You can sit on them, or have your back on them, or hug them, and that's a different thing. That doesn't even look like a radio. It's like more of a comfort thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a meaning in the design itself. I mean, Petro said talked about the ball because it's kids would like to play with balls. I do find a similarity to a planet as well, right? So this is out in space. We're out in space. So I don't know if that carries any connotation. Yeah.
Which was funny thing because the concept that the kids choose to make the storytelling around was a planet, was the planet.
Exactly.
So somehow the design and the story of the kids managed to come up with the same... towards the same idea.
Yeah.
Yep.
Could you tell more about the process of storytelling? I mean, how you run the process and how the elements of the story came in, but also, you know, how you thought about the sound composition, having in mind that it will be broadcasted through the tangible radio.
There are various exports and masterings of the same narrative. So we played one, which is mixed and mastered for transducers and a speaker. And we have another master, which is only for transducers. And a third one, which is also online, you can find it online, which is for conventional speakers. You win some and you lose some, actually. The conventional speakers, in my ears, is more rich timber-wise. But what's timber? Then you start questioning what's timber in regards to how we hear or what's thought of, normal hearing, and what can be understood as timber in terms of vibrotactility, which starts complicate things a lot. There is the philosophy of timber is a very exciting field of thought and phenomenological, research. Anyway, so that's just the beginning of it.
Okay, guys, thank you very, very, very much.
Thank you.
I really think that, Sebastian, you want to come? I really think that we opened some very interesting discussions. So this afternoon with working groups, we can install again this tangible radio and maybe welcome people during a few hours. Petro, we said that we're going to do the other installation too.
So I can be in two places at the same time.
And we can have some, let's say, continuation of this very interesting discussion. So thank you very much. We welcome now.